Ah, it's the best time of year, right? Christmas time, at least. Some people think that's the best time of year. Me, personally, it seems like Christmas is where crime picks up and the most disturbing people crawl out of their holes. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true Christmas horror stories. Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy holidays to everybody else who's not celebrating Christmas, and I hope you have a great and safe time with your friends and family. As always, if you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you could find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and get cozy, because these Christmas horror stories might make you think twice about going outside tonight. I've always liked to just go hunting. Rather, it was deer, hog, or turkey hunting. Last Christmas, I got a brand new camouflage silver-barreled 30-06. After that Christmas, I was super excited to take it to the deer stand the next week. Finally, that day came, and we were going to spend the night, Friday to Saturday. My dad and I brought our RV with two beds just for us. His bed was on one side, and mine was on the opposite side, beside the door into the camper. When we arrived, we got everything ready, unloaded our four-wheeler from the trailer attached to the back of our RV. We jumped onto the four-wheeler. My dad would take me to the patch I hunt in. It is beside a swamp on a hill. My dad hunts in a patch beside a creek. My dad dropped me off at my patch, about an eighth of a mile away. I got my 30-06 loaded, and my dad gave me my bag, and he left to go to his patch. I started walking toward my stand. It is an enclosed tree stand. I tied my gun to the string and climbed up the ladder. I pulled up my gun and opened the stand door. I put my bag down, put my gun up on the rest of my stand, and started to look around the patch. Nothing. I lay back to wait for a while. Eventually, a doe walked by. I looked, and I did not see a buck behind her. I kept looking at her to see a buck walk out, but this was no ordinary buck. It was very skinny, and its eyes were green, but it had a huge 11-point rack. But it had something dangled up in the rack. It looked like a spider web or something. Maybe there were some bones stuck in it, I don't know. At the end of its antlers, it looked like something was spiraling off. They were very skinny antlers, and stuck straight out of the front of the face. The mouth looked like it had red liquid on it. I thought nothing of it at first. I never thought it could be blood or what it was. The fur was all wet, and parts of the deer had no fur at all. It seemed to be cut up as if it were severely sick or something. I clicked the safety of my gun off. The deer looked straight at me. Its feet faced toward me. It started walking toward the stand. I was in a confused state. It started to jog toward me, still looking directly at me. Then I shot. It stopped, kept looking at me, then suddenly jumped on its hind legs and screeched a furious screech. It hurt my ears, even under my earplugs. Louder than a gunshot, the doe ran off. Then, it jumped right back down on all four legs and ran in the opposite direction away from me. But not in an ordinary way. It was almost like it would skip steps or levitate every few steps. Its head was throbbing back and forth. I have never seen such a horror in my life. It went out of sight into the woods, down the hill, and I looked out the window in a terrifying shock. It screamed again, shorter and quieter this time. Then, the woods fell silent. About 5 to 10 minutes later, my dad came in on his four-wheeler. I got my bag and gun. Usually I unload my gun before I get out of the stand. This time I kept it loaded, with my gun on the safety the entire time. I got to where my dad was. He said, I heard you shot. I ran up to the four-wheeler and said, did you hear that scream that deer made? He said I didn't hear a scream, only a gunshot. I told him everything. He then said it was probably my imagination. This is what a typical parent would say to a 16-year-old with such a story. I kept telling him I was not exaggerating. The deer was on two legs and screamed. But he kept saying the same thing. We finally made it to the RV. It had already gotten dark at this time. We got inside, changed, and we laid in our beds. I never could go to sleep that night. I kept thinking about what happened that evening. It was not really about missing the deer that was the problem, because I know for a fact that I hit the deer in the lungs, but rather the fact that this deer got on two legs and screamed at me. I was finally dozing off at around 11 that night, when I heard something scratching at the door. I heard grunting of a deer, then antlers hitting against the front of the RV. I was scared out of my mind. I reached under my bed and grabbed a box of rounds and then my .30-06. I took out a bullet and was going to load it into the gun. Then I heard banging on the door again. I quickly loaded the bullet, and without thinking, I turned the safety off. The screaming and banging stopped all of a sudden. And then, I heard one last scream. It was something like bloody murder. A deep scream, about the same rhythm as I'd been hearing all before. But it wasn't like a screech this time. There was something so guttural and demonic about it. I got up and got close to the door. The screaming stopped and I heard the leaves crunching of it rolling back on all fours. I put my hand in the lock of the door and slowly unlocked it quietly. I put both hands on the gun and ready to fire. I bust the door open with my shoulder and was ready to see what I only assumed was some sort of beast. But then, as I opened the door, everything was quiet. I looked around and saw nothing. The woods, I could hear what sounded like something sprinting in the leaves. With that same skip-a-step rhythm that I had mentioned earlier, my dad opened his door and looked at me. He kept asking me if something was wrong. Do we need to go see a doctor? I kept refusing, and I told him the same story over and over, but I got the same answer from him every time. But whatever he thinks, I know what I saw, and I know that it's true. To this day, I've never hunted in that patch again. Around that same area, a man in our hunting club hunted in that same patch, and after that, he said he saw a deer from a nightmare, and then a week later he died from a heart attack. I will never look at that land the same again. I don't know what I saw, but I definitely never want to encounter it ever again.
So this all happened way back in the late 1990s when I was a college sophomore. I and the girl I was dating at the time had been going steady for about 8 months, and since she was the first real girlfriend I ever had, my mom was keen to meet her, and what better time than the holidays to introduce her to the folks. During the week before Christmas, my mom's family traditionally held quite a large gathering up at my uncle's place over in Sandy, in my home state of Oregon. Pretty much all my extended family heads out there year after year from all over the Portland area, and since they had gotten word that I was bringing my girlfriend, they were hyped to meet her. I will not lie, I was kind of nervous that they would kind of embarrass me in front of her, but that anxiety was totally misplaced. She got on well with all of them, and despite some playful humiliation when a cousin of mine told her the story of how I literally peed my pants at the Haunted Mansion ride when I was a kid, they were a credit to me. And when it came to driving her back home, she seemed to be more into me than ever. We had agreed to drive back down to Eugene at like 7 p.m, so I would not be too tired driving back. But since we had such a good time, we stayed way later than we had planned, and did not get on the road until like 10:30 that night. In the hopes of making the journey just a little bit faster, I ended up taking the OR to 11 instead of just sticking to the I-5 south for the whole drive. Annoyingly, this did not actually make the journey any faster. But the point being, The OR 211 was pretty much surrounded by farms and these huge swaths of dense pine forest. So as you can imagine, big stretches of it are not lit very well, and for some parts of the drive, we were moving through complete darkness, saved only by our car's headlights. But honestly, I was not too terribly worried about it. I was good at reading a map, and once I was back on the I-5, a road I knew well, I figured everything would be all good. So we are just cruising along, in high spirits, talking about how goofy some of my family were. But generally, my girlfriend was singing their praises and telling me how she could not wait to meet them again. It is right around then that we hit a section of the highway that descends this big old hill, leading up to the bridge crossing over Deep Creek. There, the highway is sandwiched by some of the densest forest you are ever likely to see, and there is absolutely nothing lighting up the highway. So the only thing we can see from the front seat of the car is maybe 20 to 30 feet that our headlights are illuminating. You pretty much could not see absolutely anything else in that darkness. But like I said, we were in high spirits, completely unprepared for what was about to happen. Right as the highway starts to level off, something darts across the front of us so fast and so suddenly that I barely miss smashing into it. I brake so hard that I almost give the pair of us whiplash. Then, when we are stopped, both I and my girlfriend are in a complete frenzy of, "Oh my god, did you see that? What the heck was that?" There are plenty of deer in that area of Oregon, plenty of coyotes too. But the thing that ran out in front of us was way too big to be a coyote, and something about the way it moved gave me a gut feeling that it was not a deer either. The shape was just too slender, almost like whatever was out there had moved on two legs, not four. Now, next thing, and I know how completely dumb this sounds in retrospect, but my curiosity got the better of me, and I decided I wanted to investigate. So, and again, this was so incredibly dumb, I turned the car like 90 degrees on the highway, so I could put our headlights into the woods. Yes, this could have caused a horrible accident if another car had come along the same time I was doing this. But I wasn't thinking straight at the time. You see, as a kid growing up in the Pacific Northwest, I had heard a lot of stories about Bigfoot and Sasquatch, and I'd be lying to say if they didn't capture my imagination. Now, I'm not saying that I had caught a glimpse of Gigantopithecus or anything. I know these stories are mostly, you know, stories. But part of me just wanted to be sure. So like I said, I turned the car 90 degrees, turned on the high beams, and stepped out of the driver's side and onto the highway. I stare off into the trees for a minute or two, but I do not see a thing. Nothing is moving out there, and the whole scene was quiet as the grave. But as I'm looking, I get this gut feeling in the pit of my stomach and start to feel as though I've made a huge error of judgment. It was one of the most intense, terrifying feelings I've ever felt in my entire life, a feeling like I was being watched by something predatory. I know this is a huge cliche, and the whole "I felt like I was being watched" thing is such a tired old trope, but I really do not know any other better way to phrase it. My heart was pounding. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing on end. My guts just turned to ice. So without turning my back to the woods where I expected the danger to come from, I started edging back towards the car. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, I practically jump out of my skin when I hear the car's horn let off one long, excruciating, extended blast. I mean, it scared me so bad I almost straight up soiled my pants, Haunted Mansion style. My first thought that my girlfriend has ended up leaning on the horn and was trying to climb over into the driver's seat for some reason, because she had done that once or twice before. But as I turn around, I can see that she is still on the passenger side, but that she is leaning over to push the horn, in what was evidently a frenzied attempt to get my attention. I run back and ask if she's okay, but she does not say a single word to me, just points to a spot about 50 feet away from where we were parked. I spin my head around to see what she is pointing at, and that is when I see it. What was, without a shadow of a doubt, the thing that would run in front of the car only a few minutes prior. It was lit up by the residual light of the high beams. What I saw was obviously a man, but he was covered in animal furs. What looked like a mishmash of deer skins, bear skins, and elk skins, and on his head, secured in a way I'm not even sure of, were these antlers. At the time, because of how close it was to the holidays, I remember the words reindeer man just kind of flashing through my head. Maybe in the naive hope that the dude was dressed that way with some misdirected festive spirit. But he certainly did not seem in any kind of festive spirit. Not in the least bit. Like I said, I could not see his eyes because of the weird kind of head covering he had on. But I could see his mouth, and at first, he looked kind of like he was giving a smile. But as I looked closer, I could see it was not a smile at all. This guy was just baring his teeth to us, the same way chimps would do as a warning. After that, he turned and walked off into the forest, never to be seen again. Obviously, right after that, I and my girlfriend just got the heck out of there and got back on the road towards I-5. It took us both a while to calm our nerves, but my girlfriend was particularly shaken up, and that is because she had seen something that I had not. And as we drove on, she explained exactly what that was. While I'd been staring off into the woods, looking for Sasquatch or whatever else, she had noticed him out of the peripheral of her vision. But she was basically frozen in fear for a moment or two as she watched him slowly walking towards me. Or rather, walking is not the right word. From how she described it, this guy was stalking, the way a hunter might stalk a deer. The way she puts it, she had to summon pretty much all of the courage to be able to lean over and honk the horn the way she did. Then, when the reindeer man had heard the honking, he had backed off a little. Before I saw him, and like I said, he kind of just froze in place before disappearing. I've done a fair amount of research when I got home. I've tried to do anything that I can to see if anybody has ever had run-ins with this guy or reindeer person, I don't know. But there was absolutely nothing online about it. There are plenty of crazy survivalist types out there in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm guessing he might have been one of those. But they tend to be open about their existence, and sometimes even advertise themselves as militiamen or whatever, whereas the reindeer man seemed like he was living completely off the grid. I do not live in Oregon anymore. I and my girlfriend during the encounter broke up at the end of college, but when we were still together, and I happened to be driving down towards Eugene, I always avoided that stretch of highway that I saw the reindeer man on. I have told this story a lot over the years, and some people honestly just think I'm making it up as a little campfire tale or something. But it's not a tale. It's not made up, and it's definitely not just intended to be some dumb spooky story. It is most definitely a warning to anyone traveling on that road at night. Because if my girlfriend was not there with me when he ran out in front of the car, if she were not there to spot him before he crept upon me, only to scare him off with a blast of the horn, I honestly might not be here to warn you guys. So please, this holiday season, drive careful, drive slowly, and do not stop for any reason on a dark, deserted stretch of highway.
About 11 years ago, I was 16, and me and my friend used to always go down to the train yard and graffiti the trains. And my art was horrible, but I was young and dumb. While we were painting, we heard this diesel-powered train coming too, and no lights on or anything. We could only see it from the moonlight. I thought it was really weird. We were sitting on top of a train car, watching for about 15 minutes for someone to get out, and no one did, so we decided to leave. When we heard these loud cars coming, we knew something wasn't right, so we stayed and watched. Three cars pulled in, a black SUV and two black Lamborghinis. The people that got out were wearing all black with sweatshirts, and it wasn't even cold out. We knew we were not supposed to be there. The six people were very tall, I would say 6'5 or higher, and not one of them talked. They had their hoods up, but all of them had bright blonde hair, which I thought was weird. They walked over to the train car and opened the door, which is when two people jumped out. We thought we were witnessing human trafficking or something. When the people got out, they all stood in a circle, staring at each other like they all knew each other, my friend then whispered, "Vampires." I said, "Let's call the cops, this isn't good," and he said, "No, I'm not being caught up in the middle of this." I realized, something isn't right. These people are not human. The way they moved, the way they presented themselves, it seemed like they had talked to each other through their minds. My stomach was seriously turning. They ended up speeding off in their cars. The train yard was next to the highway, and you could see them driving away very fast. We ended up getting down from the train car and looking to see what was inside the train car they had gotten out of. It was completely empty. We got out of there as fast as we could. I said to my friend that we should never talk about this again. Do not say anything to anyone. This happened around 12 at night. My friend's dad ended up picking us up at this diner because we couldn't drive yet. On the ride home, my friend told his dad everything. I was pissed. After he told the story, his dad said, "Why were you down there?" Like he knew something. He told us to never go down there again. A few years after this happened, I was watching a show called Ancient Aliens, and they were talking about this group of aliens called the Pleiadians. I realized that they looked just like what we saw. Just the other day, I and my friend were hanging out, and I brought the story up. He got so defensive and said, "I'm not talking about this." I never told anyone except my wife about this story, but I feel now is the time that I can't keep it quiet anymore. Whatever we saw was not normal. Whether it was vampires, aliens, or just some weird cult, we were not supposed to see this. I love your videos. Keep up the awesome work.
I recently found your show and thought I would share an experience that happened to me a few years back that I absolutely cannot explain. Just in case anyone has any ideas or if anyone has had something similar happen to them, it is pretty much the only thing of this nature that has ever happened to me before. It was evening on Christmas Day, 2012. I am around 16 or 17 years old, and my mom and I are driving back after spending Christmas Day with our extended family in Greater London. I and my mom lived alone with our dog Pika. We are just chatting away about Christmas. Then the conversation moved to Santa Claus, and then we both started talking about how other mythical holiday characters, such as the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. We talked for a while about how when I was younger, my mom used to keep my baby teeth in a small jar with a blue fairy on top. Remarkably, like this one I grew up with, and I always remembered this jar from my childhood, but had not seen it for many years. I remembered that last time I had seen it, it was partially wrapped in a black duct tape, obviously due to it falling. And if I had to estimate when this was, I would say probably several years before, probably around the time we were moving to a new house and we were packing. Maybe around 2007. We spoke for a while about baby teeth in this jar. My mom also stated that she had not seen it in a long time and hoped it was not lost due to the process of us moving. I remember even saying that I thought it was a bit gross that my mom had kept all my teeth in the first place, and that they are just sitting in the house somewhere, rotting away. Anyway, this conversation went on for a while, and then moved on to talking about other things. We arrived home shortly after, walked in the front door, and were greeted by my dog. As usual, my mom walks into the kitchen and I follow immediately behind her, and there on the floor of the kitchen is that small jar. Opened in two pieces, and all these tiny baby teeth all over the floor. My first reaction was to think that my mom was trying to spook me, although she has literally never tried to play a prank on me in my entire life. But when I saw her face, I realized she was not playing a game. She immediately freaks out and starts ringing everyone she knows to tell them about what happened. My dog Pika was old at this point, maybe 11 or 12 years old, and was very docile. When we would leave the house, she would literally never go rummaging through belongings or anything like that. It would not really be possible anyway, as most of the stuff is kept in drawers or cupboards that she could not access. This is weird. I still do not have an explanation for it. My mom has a fair few unexplained, weird stories about things happening, and I just never thought they were real. And ever since this happened, I am now a believer. I grew up in a small town, the type where people did not really lock their doors. At least they did not used to. When I was about 14, I got called to babysit for one of my regulars who had three daughters. It was December, so a lot of Christmas work parties were going on. I arrived and we went over the usual rules. She mentions the TV upstairs was broken, so once I put the girls to bed, just head down there to watch TV, so after playing with the girls for a while, I sent them off to bed and headed downstairs. I spent a few hours channel surfing. It was about 1:30 a.m. I remember grabbing the phone though. I cannot remember who I was calling. Maybe it was my mom or my sister to let them know I would be late. But I heard the door open upstairs, which sort of surprised me. The mother who employed me enjoyed the nights I babysat, as she knew I was a night owl who could be there super late until around 3 in the morning, provided she held the cab for me. It was a small town, but I live on the other side of it. As I headed upstairs, I heard someone stumble, so I picked up my pace to make sure she was okay, only to find three people I have never seen before. There was a clearly drunk woman lying in the doorway and two guys. The guys looked surprised to see me, as I was them. I asked why they were there. The girl had slurred that they were there for the party. I was confused and asked if they knew who Helen was, who was the mother. One of the guys looked me up and down and I began getting very uncomfortable at the entire situation. He asked if I was alone, and I remember not wanting to answer because all I could think about was the fact that these three people were very dangerous to the little girls that were sleeping in the house. I decided, instead of answering him, I would simply state there was no party here and that they needed to leave. The girl admitted that she was here for the party. The guy who had asked me the question took a step forward. I demanded that this time they leave, and we all heard a phone button being pushed. I had forgotten it was in my hand, and it seems to be enough to startle the guy, who then thought I pushed it on purpose. The guy quickly told the other guy they were leaving and helped the woman up. As soon as they were outside, I slammed the door and locked it, and quickly ran to the front window and watched them. They continued up the block, so it was not merely messing up the house numbers for them. The mom returned home about 2 hours later and was confused about the door being locked. She was too drunk, so I just told her it made me feel safe. I feel stupid for not telling someone, but they did not really do anything at the end of the day. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true Christmas horror stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button. And if you're on a different platform like iTunes or Spotify, be sure to give us a 5-star rating as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the channel, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a holiday experience or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you want to support the show outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I've got everything from face masks to hoodies to t-shirts and more. I also have an exclusive Christmas design only being sold until the new year, so get one before they're gone forever. If you guys want to keep listening to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories even when you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, you can download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Like I said, it's absolutely free, so definitely be sure to do that. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you have a great holiday, and much love to my friend as the Raven Dreams, who read story number 3. I forgot to mention him in the intro, and I do apologize, but if you guys enjoyed him, be sure to check out his channel. You can find the link to do so in the description down below. It'd mean a lot to me, and you know it would mean a ton to him. He reads scary stories and covers scary stuff on his channel, and I know you guys will enjoy what they do. Have a great holiday season, my friends. I'll see you very soon with another creepy video.